prayer. Maybe just ask that question, where's it at, really? In some respects, you might say, well, that's actually not too bad. I came across a survey that the Evangelical Alliance did towards the end of last year, and they interviewed or surveyed 1,703 UK Christians aged between 18 and 37, and this is what they came back with. 5% of those they surveyed pray less than once a week. 4% pray once a week. 29% pray a few times a week. And out of those surveyed, 63% pray every day. So you might kind of go, well, actually, that's not bad, really, isn't it? Over half of those between 18 and 37 potentially pray every day. Then why are we really that bothered about this? Now, one question you've got to ask is, who are they praying to? Because you can pray to a whole other number of different things. But I think the bigger question, and the one that I want us to reflect on briefly, and has come to me, is I wonder, however much maybe some of us pray regularly, has it just become a bit dry? Has it become a bit formulaic? Has it become just the kind of thing that we do, or the meeting that we go to, or the bit in the service that we just shut our eyes, put our hands together, and do what we always do? I want to read some verses from Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I wonder how many times maybe we've read that prayer. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I imagine every single one of us here will have heard it, or a version of it, and I'm not going to get into a debate about which version you should use tonight, at some stage, at some point, whether it was at school, whether it was at another church, whether it's here as we gather on a Sunday. I wonder, though, hearing those words, or when we say them, do they challenge us? I wonder if those words excite us. Do they draw us in? Do they make us stop and think? Do they put you in a moment where you just have to, take a breath? Because the awesomeness of what you've just read, of what you've just heard, just grabs you. Or is it something that we just kind of know fairly well and we can work through without really having to read it? And we're one of those people, when we're in a public gathering and everyone says, "Let's say the Lord's Prayer," we know exactly kind of, what to go and how it follows. Pick up another two thoughts in it. Begins verse 9. Our Father in heaven. Prayer is about communicating, engaging with the God of all things, the creator of everything. It's not just some random bloke in a room answering questions. It's not just someone who has kind of been made up as a figurehead way back when because they needed someone. It's not just some physical idol, a lump of gold or whatever you want, that we're talking to. It's about praying and communicating, engaging with the Creator, the one true sovereign God. But then as it goes on, in verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In those words, we have this powerful invitation to every single one of us to be a part of something. To connect, to get involved, to step up, to be used by God as we see his kingdom come in this community or wherever we find ourselves. not just, again, some abstract idea of something that may happen kind of way off in the future or way over there but not here, but God's kingdom coming as a reality in our lives here and now. But again, I wonder whether so often we can just meander through it in a bit of a monotone voice, because that's what you do when someone says, say the Lord's Prayer, rather than recognizing actually the opportunity that we have before us. You see, as we come to think about this whole idea of culture killed my prayer life, it's this challenge of these different things that actually get in the way of our relationship with God. Because I think, anyway, that's another way of explaining prayer. Prayer is about a relationship. It's about a two-way communication, communing with God. And we think about this whole idea of time, the issue of busyness, if you will. I don't know if you've heard that phrase. You know, people say, "Oh, there just aren't enough hours in the day. If only there was 25 hours in a day. If only there were 8 days in the week. If only there were, depending on how many days in a month, one more. If only there was that little bit extra, then I'd get stuff done. Because I just don't have the time. I'm always trying to catch up. I'm always trying to do that little extra bit that I didn't manage to do yesterday." I heard an alternative version. Someone said, "There is not enough time to do all the nothing that we want to do." Which I think maybe accounts for some of the things maybe that I want to do in life. But it's this idea, isn't it, that there's never enough time. And the problem is, I think when we talk about prayer and time, certainly maybe this is just me, but I think often in church life and as Christians, we go, time plus prayer equals you need to show up more, basically. If we're putting these two together, you actually should be, putting your bum on a seat more often than you are. That's what we're getting at here, is often the danger. Or it's this idea, well, time plus prayer equals getting up earlier. Because we always, you hear these stories of people who got up at 3 a.m. and prayed for hours, and that's great. But actually, for all of us to get up at 3 a.m. and pray would probably not work, because we're wired differently. But we naturally, I wonder, for some of us, hear this whole deal of, we're talking about time, well, obviously I should be getting up more, I should be spending more time at the start of each day. Or we hear this idea of time plus prayer means actually you need to start doing things my way. I'm basically waiting to be told how I should be doing this. Because that's what you're getting at here, really. I think the challenge for us in the church, I think, not just here in Battle, I think the church at large, is that prayer isn't actually a priority in our existence. It isn't actually something, if we're really honest, that we put high up. It's something we should do. It's something we should include. But actually, it's the bit that often gets missed. And I wonder whether it's not a priority because it has become, well, it's turning up to a meeting. That's what prayer is. It's showing up. Rather than actually it's about encountering the living God and meeting with him afresh. Or maybe it's become something we're expected to do. Come on, you must do this. We're not going to necessarily keep a tally chart, but actually we kind of are, really. You need to pray more. Or it's become something so watered down, rather than this opportunity to live on the edge and give ourselves completely over to what God has, rather than living safely in the world. Or it's become something that we do if we have time. Having grown up in the church, attending a local church, being part of a local church, I've been in many house groups where the prayer is the bit that you kind of get round to at the end, isn't it? It's the bit often that, well, we've got 5 minutes left, so quick, we'll have a pray. Or it's the bit we do at the end when we're all tired and you then just kind of start to waffle and have conversation or that sort of thing. Or it's the thing on a Sunday when we gather here even that, well, it's kind of, can't do it this week because we haven't got enough time. Or it's, well, I just got up late today. Or I had a late night last night and I've got to do these things. And just isn't a priority. And I think there's that challenge for us as a church, as we seek God to say, God, We want more of you. We're not content with where we find ourselves. And that's going to mean us being willing to invest and commit and step up in terms of our time. But in no way, shape or form is that a fixed thing for each of us, because it's going to be different for each of us. But it is about me asking God, what is it that you're looking from me? In the same way that I believe it's for each of us to do just that. For Joel, I believe it's about you stepping up, if I'm honest. As you've been baptized, I'm going to be, so you can't kind of see me hide behind my mum. As you've been baptized, actually going, okay, God, I'm going to step up and press on with you. And it's for the rest of us, where Joel's concerned, for us to step up and support him in prayer as he has raised his head above the parapet in being baptized. It's for each of us to say, actually, what is it, God, that you've got ahead of me? What is it that you want me to move into? I'm sure it's missed no one's noticed over the last week that 2016 kind of ended with seemingly one celebrity dying after another. I don't know if on kind of my iPad you get these BBC News notifications, and that was kind of all that was coming up. I saw a very interesting comment by another news commentator who said, in relation to one of the celebrities that died particularly, saying I'm sure they'd much rather that actually all the news that was going out was used in regards to some of the plights of the, you know, those who are starving and suffering in the world today, rather than actually the fact that he's no longer here. The point is, though, that I think actually the last week has been quite sobering for many people. Because it's reminded us that even the famous and celebrities and all those sort of things, actually, our time here on earth, in an earthly sense, is not something that we have a limited amount of. For those of us who know Jesus, I believe it's asking that question, how can I use it the best that I can? It doesn't mean that from today onwards, I am going to be perfect. And I am going to give God everything that he should get. Because I'll get it wrong. I'll make mistakes. We can't live a perfect life. Only Jesus could. That's why he was able to take our place. But at the beginning of this year, it's, I believe, about us saying, okay, God, I want to put one foot in front of the other. I want you to help me to live this week for you. And then the next week, and the week after, and so on, and so forth. And in many ways, it's about, I think, in using the imagery that we've taken for our prayer series of the fuse. It's like Woody taking that match, lighting that rocket. And saying, we don't quite know what's going to happen. We don't quite know where this is going to take us. But why don't we step out, trust God, and see what he's got in store. Let's pray.